Hey, this is Chris Armfield. Thanks for listening to City Lights Podcast. In light of the events that happened on December the 14th in Connecticut, we as a church felt like it was necessary to take some time to consider how to respond appropriately. When we spent that time together, our morning looked a little different than normal. And we were able to take some postures of mourning and praying and even writing to the families who lost so much. As you listen today, we encourage you to reflect some of these postures with us, and perhaps you might even take some time to write a card to one of the families as well. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you being wherever you are, and we'd love to see you in one of our worship environments soon. And it is so easy, maybe the word tempting or convenient, to sometimes try to understand our experiences. And we look from our lens and our perspective and look up and say, well, God must be like this, or God isn't like that. And there's a lot of danger in living life that way. Quickly, God can become what we want him to be, or God can become what we think he should be or shouldn't be. It's very easy to start blaming God or others. And really, our lives can get very confused, out of whack, and we can find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Trouble meaning what we're considering is starting to shape our emotions, and emotionally we become disproportionate to what God has for us and what is true and accurate. And today is one of those days that if we're not paying careful attention to how we're responding and thinking, if the Bible, if the scriptures, God's revelation, God's truth, his gift to us, explaining himself, explaining how he's interacted with humanity throughout history, if that's not our ultimate source of perspective and process, I just want to say that we are in serious danger of feeling crisis in major ways, feeling chaos in major ways, experiencing really compounded trouble. We can add a lot of trouble to the trouble already in the world if we don't carefully consider the things that are happening in our world through the lens of Scripture. And so at City Lights, if you're just visiting with us this morning, we want to say welcome to you. And I think that every time we do something, it's kind of the first time we've done something. This is our 11th week together. And so I can't say, oh, here's how we handle world crises or tragedies. But I can say this, we want to be sensitive at all times to everything that's happening. We try to be sensitive when we teach God's word just to what's going on in y'all's lives. We want to be a community, and I think we have been already, that we're listening and caring for one another. So we know about many of you who are going through marital issues that are very difficult. And we know that there's a lot of students here, and the kids are in here today this morning. City Kids are joining us because it's a... You know, we didn't know that these tragedies were going to happen, and today's Family Sunday in here, meaning we're trying to have the whole family in here, and we were to celebrate, actually. We just finished our series through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first sermon. It was called Brokenness is Beautiful, and today our plan was we're going to focus on that, and we're going to respond back to God and say thank you for everything that you taught us, and we wanted to participate in that together and say, God, here's what I pursued in my life, and it left me feeling broken, and I realized that wholeness is only found in you, Jesus. And then this tragedy happens Friday. And it's not just here in our country. If you've watched the news globally, there's other tragedies, the tragedy that happened in China, and then there was also another tragedy that happened yesterday in Alabama. And we just want to take some time this morning really to respond as appropriately as we can. I just want to say, behind the scenes as a staff, we were talking late last night, trying to really think through, what do we do today? What's the most appropriate response to God, who is still sovereign? God, who is not surprised by anything that happened, and yet terrible things happened. And I'm sure some of you maybe questioned, is he good? Is he potent enough to control? Where was he in these moments? And listen, if you turn your ear to internet or the news, you will hear so many different answers, and once in a while you hear one and say, hey, is that right? And there's enough answers that you can find one to match your emotional response. But ultimately, again, I want to come back around to it. We believe that God has been thorough enough in everything he's done revealing himself to humanity and helping us understand how bad the consequences and repercussions of our kind of decisions, the Bible calls it sin, because of our sin, the fallenness of the world is marked with tragedy. There's a tragedy that lasts longer than a physical one. Our decisions have eternal repercussions, ramifications. And so the hope that was our hope last week is still our hope today. It is peace on earth, but not through politics. It is peace on earth, but not through gun laws. It is peace on earth, but it's not through let's just get along and be tolerant of differences. Our hope is Jesus Christ and his return. Him putting a finality to all the war because of sin. Our hope has been and is and will continue to be Jesus Christ and his victory over sin and death. And so we can sensitively and cognitively celebrate today. We just sang a song that said, rejoice, rejoice. And a lot of times I think that we consider that as an emotional response. Oh, I'll be happy, I'll be happy. If you've been with us for the last several weeks, you know when we were in our series, Lavish, we were trying to discuss why we lacked thankfulness at times. We actually looked at the word rejoice, and it means to have a deep confidence in who God is. I'm going to choose to rejoice. I'm going to choose in the midst of everything to focus and place my confidence in God, not my circumstances. So when we say rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, we're saying my confidence is in God with us. Even in the midst of moments that seems like we're going, God, where are you? It's appropriate today for us to corporately come together and say, what does it look like to put our confidence in God, but yet at the same time, put our confidence in God and also be confessional and transparent with where we're at. I want to be sensitive, and for those of you who have children in the room, I'm not going to discuss details. I want to be sensitive if you've shared information or haven't shared information with what's been happening. Basically, what I've shared thus far will be the extent of it. We are going to do some things that are participatory this morning to try to demonstrate care from our community here to the community of the school there. In a few moments, we're actually going to, if you're willing, we're going to spend some time in prayer for those up north who lost family and friends, children, mothers, and we're going to actually take some time to consider what it might look like to just write a few comments to those people there and respond together. When we do that, we're actually going to have the names of those who were victims on the screen. And so if your children are here, listen, we value the whole family. And if you've had a conversation already about this, this will give you another opportunity to shepherd your family. Fathers, if you're in the room, this is a moment for you as dads to... I know it's difficult at times to wake up out of passivity and shepherd your family well. I know it's difficult to take the lead at times. I know it's difficult to know what words to say. I know it's challenging because of what you have or haven't done as a father or a husband to maybe do the proactive right thing. And we just want to help you with that today. But the whole family, and if you're a single in here or unmarried or you're a student, I would ask a couple of things. If you're a student this morning and your family is here and maybe you're sitting in the Illuminate section or you're somewhere apart from your mom or dad or family this morning, I'd love for you in a few moments when we get into groups that you would go maybe just sit and be with your family this morning. And as we look to try to reflect and respond, God's love, the Father's love, the Son's presence, as we saw in the Bible, Jesus' earthly ministry, and then the Spirit's ongoing work is the one who comes alongside to bring comfort and direction. As we celebrate that and think about that, we'd love for you to do that as families. For those of you who don't have family, we'll get in groups, and it's okay if your mom, dad, brother, sister aren't here. That's okay. But we really do want this still to be a family time where you have an opportunity as a family to talk through some difficult times. I know like the Cochrans are here with Emily, and it's a young little lady in the room, and it's not easy to talk about these things, but it's a great moment as a church to shepherd our families together. So let me just share a few comments and perspective, and I think it's important. I felt really quickly when I saw and watched the coverage of everything going on, I felt a responsibility as your pastor and your shepherd to shepherd you well. I know my own emotions. I know Josh's emotions. Josh was texting me and we were talking on Friday and Saturday, and he just kept sharing, you know, several times he just lost it and was crying as early as, or as recent as yesterday night. And it's appropriate. So let me say this before I continue on. Maybe you haven't had any emotional response yet. I want to say this as loving as I can. You should have an emotional response. Sin and the consequences of sin, I mean, that's what we looked at in Brokenness is Beautiful. Poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. It's those who think about the brokenness of the world and those who have an emotional response to the brokenness personally and globally. It's right for those who are trusting in Jesus, those who have a relationship with God, it's right to have Godward thought and emotion, mental and emotional response to God. And so maybe you haven't even stopped long enough, or you haven't turned on the news and you haven't looked on the internet and have read articles. And I mean, maybe there's somebody in the room that doesn't even know what's been happening in our country. And okay, I want to be sensitive to that. We want to give you a few moments just to pause and to think about that before we continue on. So as a way of preparing our hearts and minds for how to respond appropriately together as a community, I'm just going to give you a few moments just to pause and just talk to God privately. And then we're going to have a time to take up offering. And then we're going to move into our time of response. So I want to thank you in advance. I don't want to steal away focus, but you've been an extremely generous community with your time, your resources, your finances, and I want to thank you in advance for that as we take up the offering in a moment. So thank you for that. So we're going to pray, give you guys a couple opportunities. I mean, just maybe a minute or two for you to just talk with God. And maybe you could just ask this: God, would you help me appropriately respond today with your heart, with your emotions, with your mind? Would you prepare me? And then we're going to take up the offering, and then we'll continue this morning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we recognize you as God, perfect in all of your ways. And we kind of stand in the midst of tragedy in our country and world today, and it's not a surprise to you, and it really shouldn't have been a surprise to us in many ways. And yet, God, we come here with questions, and we come here with probably some confusion. And we know, God, that you are not the author of confusion, and you have not changed. We ask that you would help us worship you appropriately today with a pure heart. We need your help today, God, for comfort and clarity. We ask that you be worshiped and honored today with our response to you. The importance of understanding perspective and filtering and processing the things that happen in life through a Godward filter, a Godward lens, meaning what is true of God throughout eternity and what he's revealed about himself in the scriptures. The importance of that is in moments like this, we desperately need that. Our culture, and by culture I just mean the tendency and the perspective that is prevalent throughout our world, is that absolutes have been challenged. Whether there are knowns that are certain. Can we know something for sure, whether that be by science or rationale? And God has been an absolute that's been challenged in culture by many. They try to remove the possibility of God, even efforts to remove the divine out of the person Jesus, the things that were supernatural that he said or did, try to extract those out of him and just have the person Jesus. And we don't want to belittle any of who God is. And we do believe wholeheartedly that our foundation in the midst of crisis like this, in the midst of trouble, and listen, every one of us is going to face, and many of us have probably already faced losing people. The reality of death is universal. And so, you know, Chris, will we pause like this every time? Possibly. But the reality of death and the reality of tragedy is something that is as old as time. Adam and Eve and thereafter, death has been a universal truth and reality. How do we respond to these moments? It is, again, I come back and say it is so important to understand what the scriptures have prepared us for. And we see in the New Testament that Peter actually describes, and he's talking about trouble and trials and difficulties that we'll face, but he says, do not be surprised. Don't act as though you didn't know these things were going to happen. And I think at times these moments are very alarming for us because we have gone on with an idea or a foundational thought of life doesn't have these things happen. And what we've done is we have, in a sense, acted as though life is more pure and holy and right and beautiful than truly the scriptures define it as. Remember, if you've been here with us, we've talked about how God has made an assessment of humanity and the world and our actions and says that everyone has fallen short of good and glory. Everyone has fallen short of the righteousness of God. The repercussions, as bad as that gets, is constant death at all times. In fact, the fact that we don't see more tragedies like this is simply the mercy and kindness of God. And I'm not, you might think, well, you're a pessimist, Chris. That's a negative thought. No. Biblically, we see that the fact that we do not experience more tragedy and chaos is the intervention of our God. From the beginning to Jesus Christ, we see the mercy of God on display, passing over sin for a season. And at Christ, we see the Father saying, I am a just God and I need to punish sin. And the Son saying, it will be my joy to endure the cross and shame, to bear the burden, to bear the sin of humanity. And the grace of God comes through the work of Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship restored with the living God by grace, that we're saved, not of anything that we can do. It's a gift. So the scriptures actually prepare us. They give us a history that says it's laden with sin and chaos and destruction. And we see the intervention of God in humanity saying, I will rescue. I will rescue. And in Jesus Christ, he has rescued us. He is our hope. And yet there is still tragedy. So what do we do in the midst of that? What's the answer? Well, President Obama actually had some, I think, very good comments. I just want to read a portion of what he shared the other day. He says this, as a country, we have been through this too many times. Whether it is an elementary school in Newtown, or a shopping mall in Oregon, or a temple in Wisconsin, or a movie theater in Aurora, or where he was from, or a street corner in Chicago. These neighborhoods, and this is important, I think these comments struck me, these neighborhoods are our neighborhoods, and these children are our children. And we're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this, regardless of the politics. Those last two sentences struck me. When he said these neighborhoods are our neighborhoods, and these children are our children, I think he has a right perspective. We are a collective. Not just City Lights, we are a collective as humanity. And it's going to take more than a political action with gun laws or more security or more punishment. I mean, that's not the answer. The hope of the world is not a Christianized government. The kingdom come of Jesus, Jesus' everlasting kingdom, that is the answer. But us trying to set up more policies and rules. Listen, the biblical history is laden with rules and systems to try to fix what went wrong. And it's only found in Jesus Christ that we will have hope. And so these neighborhoods are our neighborhoods, and these children, they're our children. Coming together, well, what can and what should we come together around? When I heard about this at first, my first emotional response was this. I sincerely started to ask for forgiveness. And I actually thought about my words that I was saying. I said, God, please forgive us. Please forgive us. And I was very much thinking of myself in that statement. And I said, please forgive us, for we have committed this atrocity as a people. And listen, none of us are an exception to this truth. All of us have turned against God. All of us are deserving wrath and punishment of God. And I know this statement might be offensive, but the difference between our crimes and our sin and the atrocities we just saw are, in God's sight, they're both punishable. They're both equal. And I know, you know, Chris, but have you ever done something like that to a person? No. But in God's sight, sin is sin. All has fallen short. It's equal. And I know that could be painful. It can almost be offensive. But these sins, these transgressions, these decisions were the penalty, the things that Jesus needed to pay for. And so when we as a people at City Lights, and we as a nation, and we as a world looking to God and saying, God, we have transgressed. We have sinned. We have gone our own way. We need forgiveness. I speak on behalf of all those, including the shooter, including myself and us as a community. There's a posture that a pinnacle sinful city took. When Jonah went to Nineveh, he goes to them. And I'm not going to unpack the whole book of Jonah. I'm not going to teach on that this morning. That's not my goal necessarily. But the posture when Jonah goes to Nineveh, he declares to them that God's coming against you to pour out wrath on you for your foolishness. And the leadership in Nineveh, who is not fearful of God and not God honoring, their response is, I think it shows us something that should be a, I think could very well be the response that we need to take as a nation. In the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5, says this. The people of Nineveh believed God after Jonah came and said that to them, and they called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to least of them. What that means is they heard about these things, and they said, I can't even eat, and I'm going to change my garments and put on a garment of mourning as an outward demonstration of what's going on inside. God, I'm saying inside there's this deficit, inside there's this trouble, and I'm gonna look different on the outside. I'm going to abstain from eating. I'm going to put on the sackcloth and demonstrate to you how this feels to me. And then verses 7 through 10, this is what the king says to the people. Verse 7 through 10, he says this. This is a pagan society, one against God, and they hear they're against God, and here's how they respond because they recognize their sin. They say, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. They hear about their wrongdoing. They say, well, perhaps God will show mercy to us. Maybe he'll relent. Maybe he'll turn from his fierce anger that we might not perish. Jonah comes and gives them a sentence and they go, whoa, we're to blame. We're in the wrong. Let's respond as any way we can. Let's embrace, to use the language of our current series that we just finished, let's embrace our brokenness before God. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Wow. That's the character of our God. You know why it's important for the Bible to demonstrate and to define our experience and our response? Because God is more good and kind than we would ever, ever, ever hope or dream. Listen, I'm going to continue to read to you in just a few verses. In fact, Exodus 34, 6, and Numbers, and Psalms. And Jonah actually says it too. Jonah 4, 2. Look what Jonah 4, 2 says, because he's quoting back. Look what happens to Jonah 4, 2. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why you made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are gracious, a gracious God, and you're merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Jonah says that back to God. Listen to what happens in Exodus. And this is the Old Testament. If you've ever understood the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, like, he's wrathful, he's mean, he's just God of war. Well, this is an Old Testament passage, and the other ones I'm going to read, it's describing the character of God in the Old Testament, and over and over and over again, listen how he's described. Exodus 34, 6 says this. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will not clear the guilty. Numbers 14, 18 says the same thing. Numbers 14, 18. And then the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and clearing the transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. In Psalms 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He says the same thing in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Old Testament truth, reality. Psalm 86, 5 Let's continue to say the same thing. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. So here's what I would just long for us to do. These two things. One, that we would recognize as not just a people group. I mean, it has to happen personally, that we would understand and embrace our brokenness for God and say, God, I'm like them. I'm just as evil and apart from you as the crimes that we just heard about and saw on the screens. I'm that in need of you. But I recognize that you're a God of kindness. The Bible tells us it's the kindness of God that leads us to change our mind. It's his kindness. And you've heard already probably, and is God to blame? Where is God at in this? And I've heard actually some good responses from media saying, no, God's not to blame, we are. And though they didn't go on to say this, well, God's kind, God's gracious, God's compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love for those who would recognize and embrace their brokenness before him. He shows kindness and mercy. So we don't have to be fearful to embrace the full weight of sin like Jesus took it on for us, and we don't have to bear that guilt, but to say, like, God, that was mine. That was ours. We as a people look to you, God, and say, forgive us. Forgive us. We have fallen. We have come short. You are kind. You are gracious. You're abounding in love. You are slow to anger. Forgive us, and please do not count our transgressions, our as a humanity, as a people, as a collective. This is the message of the church. In a moment like this of tragedy, it's important for you and I not just to blindly or emotionlessly hold to the truths of God, but to emotionally, I mean, the Bible's actually call us, remember, blessed are those who are merciful, for they will find mercy, to come alongside and not just have compassion. Mercy was compassion with action. And it is difficult. It's not, I would love to be in Connecticut and be able to sit with those families and not say a word, but just to sit with them and love them and mourn with them. And that's not something we necessarily can do today. But we do want to do two things as a group. I'm going to ask you in a moment just to find a couple of people you know. Again, if your family's here, I'd love for you to go and spend this time with some of your family members. And what we want to ask you to do is take some time to actually pray. And what are we going to pray, Chris? Well, families lost loved ones. A nation is struggling. People are confused. Some are angry. We need to pray for the spiritual needs of all humanity. And so in part, let's start by praying and saying, God, we recognize that you're our creator and we have, as a people, gone against you. Would you forgive us for our waywardness? Would you forgive us for our transgressions? Let us ask God to forgive this nation, this globe, for our sins. And then let's move into being considerate of those who just lost a lot with their family, their loved ones, and take some time to actually pray for them. We will have names on the screens. If you wish to, in your group, just pray for the family of. You know, 20 children lost and 8 adults, including the person who did the crimes, did the things. So we're going to take a time to pray. And then after that, we would love for you to consider what it would look like to, we're going to hand out just cards. And all we had at this point is we just had City Light stationery that we had just purchased. And so we purchased it for another reason and then just felt like, God, thank you for providing this resource that we could maybe respond right now. And what we would ask you to do as a family and as a collective, whatever group you're in, just to consider possibly writing to one of the families, and you can write to the family of. And I want you to be very sensitive. You don't have to put a lot. If you put a scripture verse, that's okay. If you want to put, we prayed for you today. I'd love to say that. I'd love for you to say, as a community, we prayed for you today. Maybe you've lost somebody. Maybe you've lost a child. You can say, I know what it's like to lose a child. That you and I would be able to demonstrate us coming alongside and caring for them in that way. This is not much of an action, but it's compassion with a little bit of action, showing mercy, coming alongside of them.
Thanks again for listening to this week's podcast. We'd love it if you would consider what it would look like for you to possibly write one of the families as we did as a community. If you're ever in Greenville on a Sunday morning, we'd love for you to come worship with us at 9:30 a.m. We hope that you find your confidence in the Lord this day.